Even if you're not a J.K. Rowling fan, it's likely you know that her Harry Potter magical series takes place in England and Europe. But a series of short online stories from Rowling and the new film Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is out tomorrow, shows fans what the North American magical world looks like in Rowling's mind. That world includes a school of witchcraft and wizardry located on Mount Greylock, Massachusetts' tallest mountain in northwestern Mass. WBUR's Bob Schaefer visited Mount Greylock to look into its literary past.
In Rowling's world, North American witches and wizards attend Ilvermorny, a school perched on the summit of Mount Greylock. From almost 3,500 feet up, you can see as far as 90 miles on a clear day from the top of this mountain in the northern Berkshires. Massachusetts designated Greylock as the first state park back in 1898. Today, it encompasses 12,500 acres. It's even a stop along the Appalachian Trail. Rowling could have picked anywhere for Ilvermorny's location. Why Greylock?
There's an unearthly beauty about it when you come to the mountain itself.
For the Berkshire Historical Society's Peter Bergman, Greylock stands out among the area's mountains.
The world seems to fall away and disappear. And you're surrounded not just by natural woods and trails, you're surrounded by an atmosphere that's different from everything else in the region.
The Berkshire Historical Society is located at the one-time home of another writer inspired by Greylock. From the study of his home 20 miles away in Pittsfield, Herman Melville could see the mountain. His description of the white whale in Moby Dick is said to have come from seeing Greylock covered in snow. So we're looking at Mount Greylock right now. How would you describe that?
We're seeing this beautiful field, and beyond that are these trees that are colored with fall, and then beyond that, in the distance, is this beautiful mountain that looks like, it almost looks like a whale breaching.
Jana Laiz is the Berkshire Historical Society's writer in residence.
Whether he actually looked at that mountain and saw a whale, or whether he looked at that mountain and his gaze became unfocused, this is a mesmerizing view, and you can just get lost in yourself and your thoughts.
Laiz says Melville's time in Pittsfield was his most productive. He wrote 17 works there. After Moby Dick, his next novel was Pierre or The Ambiguities, a work Melville dedicated to the most excellent purple majesty of Greylock.
As a writer, he focused on the mountain, took him out of himself and into whatever world he was working on at the time. It's all about magic, and this mountain held huge significance for him. And you can see why. It's incredibly beautiful.
Greylock's beauty and stature affected many more 19th century writers than just Melville. In his poem, A Berkshire Summer Morning, Oliver Wendell Holmes writes that cloud-girdled Greylock welcomes visitors from his purple throne. Henry David Thoreau spent a night atop the mountain during a hike in 1844. When he woke up the next morning, Thoreau was surrounded by a fog so thick that he couldn't see any of the surrounding land below. In his first novel, he calls the site an undulating country of clouds. For writer Nathaniel Hawthorne, Greylock seems to have held a more sinister edge, something that comes out in his short story, Ethan Brand. Hawthorne wrote the story after hiking the mountain in the dark. Ethan Brand operates a furnace on Mount Greylock that he uses to burn limestone. As heard in this 1944 radio adaptation, he obsesses about finding the unpardonable sin, the one thing God cannot forgive.
Ethan, what are you doing here? What do you want?
I've come to share a joke, Brother Barton. I've learned to manipulate men as a chess player would move his pawns. I've made men commit crimes they had never dreamed of. And I've enjoyed every moment of my evil life.
Oh, you're still as crazy as ever.
I think I'll go up on the side of Mount Greylock and have a last look on the scenes of my boyhood.
Mount Greylock, especially in the 19th century, was quite an imposing and a haunting kind of a place. And this area was much more isolated then.
Associate Professor Jason Ananda Josephson Storm chairs the religion department at nearby Williams College.
It was quite a bit harder to get to this corner of the state, and in an early gaslight era, it was quite dark. So I think that's part of what's building into Hawthorne's really wonderful story.
Josephson Storm says while the Berkshires were a big attraction for 19th century writers in general, Greylock and its surroundings specifically stand out because of supernatural folklore.
There was supposed to be a witch's coven or den in Pittsfield. The Mount Greylock is supposed to have been haunted, for example, by a Civil War soldier known as the Old Coot, who the legend goes returned to his family after the Civil War, but his wife, thinking he was dead, had already remarried. So dejectedly, he returned to Mount Greylock to set up a little camp, and he died. And the legend goes has been haunting Mount Greylock ever since.
And with hauntings and witches, we're back to J.K. Rowling in Ilvermorny. The climax of Rowling's online story is a magical battle on the summit of Greylock. It's between the school's founding witch, her family, and an evil aunt. J.K. Rowling was unavailable for comment for this story, and so far she hasn't visited Greylock or expanded her story about Ilvermorny. But for people who know the mountain, it seems like just the right spot for North American Hogwarts. John Dudek manages a lodge on Greylock's summit. He says he sees what would draw Rowling to the mountain when he opens and closes the lodge every season.
You know, the building has a tendency to be dark and very moody. And then when you're up on top of the mountain and there's no one for, you know, 12,000 acres, you hear the wind blow and the fireplace will howl and there'll be knocks and bumps in the night. And you don't know what the hell is going on.
The one thing about the mountain that I can say, and I've lived out here now for close to 30 years.
Again, that's the Berkshire Historical Society's Peter Bergman.
Is that it never stops fascinating as a point to see. And I think that's part of the fascination that the mountain held for Melville and for so many others, Hawthorne included.
Melville, Holmes, Thoreau, Hawthorne, and now Rowling. In Rowling's story, Ilvermorny is said to be protected from non-magical people by a series of spells. How do those spells appear? Occasionally, they can take the form of a wreath of misty cloud. Holmes wrote about the cloud-girdled mountain on his Purple Throne in 1844. Melville wrote about Greylock's Purple Majesty in 1852. And now we have Rowling writing about Greylock's wreath of cloud in 2016. Whatever you want to say about Greylock, you have to admit, it's been a long literary reign for the cloudy king of the Berkshires. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Bob Schaefer.